Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Last night, a bill allowing licensed venues to stay open late for the Rugby World Cup passed under urgency, meaning there was no select committee stage and no chance for public scrutiny. It's actually, I believe, the third Rugby World Cup in a row that this has happened, which kind of makes it even more interesting. Yet, despite that, the bill last night received overwhelming support in Parliament. Every MP except the 8 Green Party members voted in favour of the bill. So what does this all mean? And is it concerning that the bill passed so quickly? I speak to Minister Andrew Little about that, plus foreign donations. And is it time for an update of our liquor laws? So last week we talked about venue hours being able to extend for the Rugby World Cup. That's already passed. Why the decision to have it passed under urgency?
It was an agreement to do that because we passed the law before. It's a pretty confined issue that we're dealing with. The law was already drafted up. It just had to have dates substituted for it. And it was pretty much ready to go. And every party, apart from the Green Party, was agreeable to seeing it through. The Green Party didn't object to the rapid process by which it was passed, but they did raise their objections to the substance of the bill.
Well, Manama Davidson did comment on the fact that it was passed under urgency during her speech last night. She basically said we've had 4 years to come up with something. We knew the Rugby World Cup was coming up. She does have a valid point there, doesn't she?
Well, there's an issue about the sale and supply of alcohol legislation in total. And there's, News Hub's been doing a pretty good series on the current state of the application of that law. I'm certainly of a view that with that law now having been in place for 6 or 7 years, that actually it is time to do a review of the entire legislation. So I think the reason it wouldn't have been done for the last 4 years is that if you're going to do one part of it, you've got to do the whole part of it. That's a big exercise, and I expect sometime in the next, or I would expect that before the next Rugby World Cup, so within the next 4 years, there will be a review of every aspect of that legislation and hopefully changes that mean that every 4 years or whatever, we're not passing legislation to allow licensed premises to stay open for whatever major sporting event there is.
What about the connection between drinking and sport, though, in New Zealand? That was something else that was raised during speeches by Green Party members last night, that it seems like we kind of have to have alcohol to enjoy sport in this country. What do you think about that?
I think that link goes back a long way, and actually alcohol sponsorship of sport runs far and wide in this country. And it's a bit like tobacco sponsorship of sport many, many more years ago. But to substitute for that, which the government did partially at the time, that's a big ticket item. The reality is, a lot of people, certainly watchers of sport, observers of sport, like to watch it and enjoy a drink as well. Most people do that. The vast majority who do that do so responsibly, do so in order to enjoy themselves and are able to do that. I just think the idea that you're going to decouple people's watching sport and enjoyment of sport from alcohol consumption is not part of our culture. And I don't see that changing. The next best thing is that knowing that is kind of part of our kind of cultural makeup is how do you make sure that alcohol, which is and can be a harmful substance, is regulated in a way that minimises that harm.
As you mentioned, the Greens were the only party to vote against the bill. You even got, you've got National on board as well. So what sort of discussions did you actually have with the Green Party before this bill made its way to the House?
I personally didn't, but I know that others in our party, the leader of the House and the whips spoke to their people and just said, look, this is what we're proposing to do. The way the bill proceeded through Parliament was agreed by everyone, and that is that it would proceed on the basis that it would be dealt with straight away. There'd be no first reading. We'd just have one major reading, which was the second reading. We'd have the committee stage, which is where we had some further debate there, that the Green Party wouldn't oppose the process. That obviously reserved its right to speak against the substance of the bill. So that the way the bill was handled was all agreed by every party.
But regardless of that, outside of Parliament, there is definitely some opposition, even if it's limited to this particular kind of law. Alcohol Health Watch, for example, said it's frustrating that it passed so quickly and without outside consultation. Do you think that there is any concerns that the public didn't get to scrutinise this bill?
I think the when a bill almost identical was passed in 2015 for the 2015, it was there was public scrutiny as well as MP scrutiny as well. The bill is identical; nothing has changed. The only difference is that the time difference between New Zealand and Japan is less than between New Zealand and the UK. That's the only kind of difference. All the policy considerations had been well canvassed through the public submission process in 2015 and debated in Parliament then. You wouldn't describe yesterday's debate as particularly substantial, but the issues were canvassed. On that basis, and given that the real outstanding issue is there are other issues in our sale and supply of alcohol law, including dealing with this issue, that ought to be dealt with substantively and with a substantial process. That, I think, is the challenge we've got. And if I have the opportunity after next year's election to do so, I intend to allow such a process to happen.
Moving on to foreign donations, is a ban on the cards?
Look, I can't gauge whether it's what level of support there is. Certainly, some MPs I've spoken to, by no means a majority, have indicated they're up for considering that. And I think when you look around the rest of the world, 121 other countries have a complete ban on foreign donations to political parties. That includes countries that we routinely deal with, the UK, Australia, Canada, the US. I suspect it is something we have to give serious consideration to, in my view, and I hope we will do that in the next few months.
So when you said you've had some conversations, is that within the Labor Party or have you spoken to other MPs?
Oh no, two MPs from other parties too, yeah.
And obviously this has been in the news in the past week because of a donation to the National Party. Do you think we'd still be having this conversation if it was a ban? I mean, if it was a donation to your party, would you have objected to it in the same way?
I think, I know when I was president of the Labor Party, we looked very carefully at big donations that we got because there has to be a level of integrity about it. We actually turned down some donations. I understand. I saw a report that said that the National Party turned down donations too. I mean, we turned down donations when we weren't sure of the true origin of the funds that we were being offered. So I just think there seems to me to be an acceptance amongst MPs I've spoken to from both sides of the House and from general commentary that we're at a point now, like many other countries, where actually you just don't need and you shouldn't tolerate foreign donations to political parties. This is a democracy that belongs to New Zealanders, those people who live here, and it should be a democracy that is responsive to their needs and interests, not to foreign interests.
In terms of this donation, it was technically legal. It was a New Zealand-owned company, so would you have objected to it?
Yeah, I think that's where the debate really is. And I know the SIS, when they made a submission to the Justice Committee earlier this week, they said that just banning foreign donations on its own is not enough. And actually, because you can route things through New Zealand registered companies, you actually have to look at those companies and see who the real owners are, where its capital comes from, where it drives its revenue from, who its directors are, that sort of stuff. We do have, in the Overseas Investment Act, we do have a definition of what a New Zealand company is, and it relates to shares of ownership and that sort of thing. That's where I think if we're serious about shutting down foreign donations, we do have to do more than just say the donor cannot be a foreigner or a foreign company. We do also have to consider the risk around New Zealand registered companies being a cipher for foreign donations.
And finally, alcohol trading laws. What do you think needs to change?
I think, if I look at the correspondence I've had in the time I've been Minister of Justice, the issues that routinely come up, the fact that many councils, even 6 years on, are struggling to get a local alcohol policy in place. When one of the principal objectives of the current law when it was passed in 2012 is to put or devolve more of the decision-making about alcohol regulation down to local communities. But what has happened is, as councils have tried to put in local alcohol policies, they've been challenged by the supermarket companies and the liquor companies who have much, much deeper pockets. There's that. There's, I think, the district licensing committees, which again was an attempt at local control. They've been overpowered by the same sort of interests and make all sorts of weird and wonderful decisions. So, you know, a decision in one part of the country can be different from another, even though it's under the same law. And then I think you look at the proliferation of cut-price liquor outlets, particularly in some suburban areas. Those things were not expected or contemplated when the law was passed. It tells you that the law isn't achieving its objective. So there's plenty of work there to do in a proper review of that law.
And is this something you're committing to should you be re-elected next year?
Yeah, look, I've indicated I think it's timely for us to do it. The law's been around long enough to see whether, you know, to have a chance to have its effect. We should measure it against the objective set for it. I'd like to see that happening, and if I'm part of a government after next year's election, then I'll certainly be doing my best to get that review up.
Minister, thank you so much for your time this week.
Cheers, Stuart.
Cheers. Evening. Talk soon. Bye. Bye.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little.
The Wire.
Yes, that.